Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor.
Coming to you live from the Wicked Curiosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's the Falling from Grace podcast.
Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Anne.
Hello.
We're going to do the spiel unscripted tonight because Dan is not here to do it for us. You can find us on Facebook, Falling from Grace Podcast. You can also find us under Wicked Curiosity Media. That is our main Facebook page for all of the shows on the station. On that page, you can find the website. I'm not going to read it to you because it's very long. Go click it. We do our shows as often as possible, live on Facebook, as well as live on Blog Talk. So you can communicate with us through the Facebook Live, or you can call in at 718-664-9735 and talk to us through Blog Talk.
Is that all of it?
I don't know. We got Instagram. It doesn't get updated very often. We got YouTube. It's got a lot of shows on it, but none of mine. So you can go to YouTube and listen to some of the shows that are on the station. Mine should be uploaded soon. Newest shows are at the bottom. Oldest shows are at the top. I don't know why they do that. It just is what it is. I think Blog Talk also puts us on Spotify, maybe? There's what is it?
I think they put us on iTunes.
On iTunes? You can find us on iTunes. I don't use iTunes, but you can find us there. Anyway, that's it.
I guess.
Yeah. So tonight is a little different because we aren't unprepared, but it was not a planned out show. It's been a long weekend. Didn't really have time to come up with a whole lot of stuff to talk about. We just have some stuff, though. It's still fun. It was Easter, though. It was a very long... It was not only was it Easter, but our very own Anne became an adult. She's now officially an adult. And so we had our birthday weekend and our Easter weekend festivities, and they pretty much lasted all weekend. So now we just have two more events, and we get to take a little break.
Austin's and then...
Your birthday party.
Yeah.
And then Austin's birthday. So...
Yeah. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I got him some cool fucking shit.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
He got you some cool
he
stuff.
He did get me
what
some
did
very
you?
Cool shit.
You had a pretty full birthday. I mean, that's some pretty cool stuff. And I'm pretty sure you got four stuff coming this weekend. But, like, what kind of cool stuff did you get?
So, I got... He got me some new games for my Switch, some Zelda games, which I fucking love, and then Animal Crossing, that I've been dying to have that game again for like 2 years now, and then he got me some cool-ass fucking anime figures.
They're
both from the same anime. They're both from Death Note.
Death Note, okay.
Then he got me some fucking sexy-ass, TikTok leggings. They're so comfy.
She has the peach butt leggings.
They're so comfy. Like, not even the fact that my, like, butt is finally, like, being shown. They're, like, incredibly cozy.
They look cozy.
But, yeah. You guys got me some cool makeup brushes.
Yeah.
And other things that I can't really remember because Austin got me a lot of cool shit.
You got a Zelda game and you got a crystal book.
Yes. And I appreciate those greatly. Thank you, guys.
She was a little spoiled in this house.
Just a little bit.
And then the Easter Bunny came, and the Easter Bunny had a lot of work to do this year.
Yeah.
He had 11 baskets this year.
And he filled up that table.
Like, I don't know what's going to happen when little people enter our lives again.
You're just going to have to get mini baskets.
We're going to have to cut back, like, the adult baskets for the tiny people. So, I don't know. It was a full table, though.
You could assign a tiny child to each adult.
Yeah. I don't know.
And here's it. Great.
So I was watching a TikTok. I'm not an overly religious person, but the guy was funny. He was talking about how we have Easter. And up here, you've got the resurrection, and you've got, you know, what the Bible tells us about Easter. And then down here, you've got an Easter bunny. And he's, like, slapping his hands together going, where does it come together? Where does the story intertwine? And that's kind of funny because the story does kind of intertwine. There are two different sides to every story. We know that most holidays derive from paganism. Not saying that the religious side of it is or is not true, because it's not my place to say, but a lot of it does come from pagan history. Do you know any of those stories, Anne?
I know a little bit about St. Patrick, just because my mom was, like, really heavy on that. Because, like, whenever I was younger and I said I didn't believe, like, she would be like, what the fuck? Because she believes, because St. Nicholas was a real person.
Yes.
So that, and I know a little bit about Valentine's Day, but everything else, nothing.
So Easter is a pagan festival. If Easter isn't really about Jesus, then what is it about, right? So today we see a secular culture celebrating the spring equinox. Secular because pagans aren't as welcomed. They weren't all that welcomed then either, though, but I mean, it is what it is. Whilst religious culture celebrates the resurrection, however, early Christianity made a pragmatic acceptance of ancient pagan practices, most of which we enjoy today at Easter. The general symbolic story of the death of the sun, or sun as in the brightening in the sky, on a cross, which was also seen as the constellation of the Southern Cross in the sky, and his rebirth, overcoming the powers of darkness, was a well-worn story in the ancient world. There were plenty of parallel rival resurrected saviors too. The Sumerian goddess Inanna, or Ishtar, was hung naked on a stake and was subsequently resurrected and ascended from the underworld. That's kind of cool. One of the oldest resurrection myths is Egyptian Horus. Born on the 25th of December, Horus and his damaged eye became symbols of life and rebirth. Mithras was born on what we now call Christmas Day, and his followers celebrated the spring equinox. Even as late as the 4th century, the Sol Invictus, associated with Mithras, was the last great pagan cult the church had to overcome. Dionysus was a divine child resurrected by his grandmother. Dionysus also brought his mom, Semele, back to life.
Sure, it's like Dionysus.
Dionysus. I had it in my head earlier. But I'm not even drinking tonight. So there's that. In an ironic twist, the Sabelle cult flourished on today's Vatican Hill. We all know what the Vatican is. Sabelle lover Attis was born of a virgin, died, and was reborn annually. That would be horrible. This spring festival began as a day of blood on Black Friday, rising to a crescendo after 3 days in rejoicing over the resurrection. There was violent conflict on Vatican Hill in the early days of Christianity between the Jesus worshippers, I don't know why it's worded like that, but yeah, and pagans who quarreled over whose God was true. and whose was the imitation. What is interesting to note here is that in the ancient world, wherever you had popular resurrected god myths, Christianity found lots of converts. So eventually, Christianity came to an accommodation with the pagan spring festivals. Although we see no celebration of Easter in the New Testament, early church fathers celebrated it, and today many churches are offering sunrise services at Easter, an obvious pagan solar celebration. The date of Easter is not fixed, but instead is governed by the phases of the moon, which is kind of pagan too. So all the fun things about Easter, though, are also pagan. Bunnies are a leftover from the pagan festival of Austin. E-O-S-T-R-E, Austria?
What?
E-O-S-T-R-E, Austria?
E-O-S-T-R-E.
Which was a great, who was a great northern goddess?
Ostri. Or Ostri.
She was a great northern goddess whose symbol was a rabbit or hare, and exchange of eggs is an ancient custom celebrated by many cultures. Hot cross buns, which I know about, they are very ancient too. In the Old Testament, we see the Israelites baking sweet buns for an idol and religious leaders trying to put a stop to it. The early church clergy also tried to put a stop to sacred cakes being baked at Easter. In the end, in the face of defiant cake baking pagan women, they gave up and blessed the cake instead. Easter is essentially a pagan festival which is celebrated with cards, gifts, and novelty Easter products because it's fun. And in the ancient symbolism, it still works. It's always struck me that the power of nature and the longer days are often most felt in modern towns and cities, where we set off to work without putting on our car headlights. And when our alarm clock goes off in the mornings, the streetlights outside are not still on because of the darkness. What a better way to celebrate than to bite the head off a bunny goddess, go to sunrise service, get yourself a sticky-footed fluffy chick, and stick it on your TV, while helping yourself to a hefty slice of pagan symbol cake. Damn.
Right? That sounded kind of aggressive. Just a little bit.
It's almost like every single side of any spirituality is aggressive.
I think so. I think
no matter what side we lay on in the spiritual belief system, it does come off a little aggressive either way.
No. I kind of like the idea. The thing is you can see from whether it's pagan or not, but historical stories, there's a lot of similarities always between what we see in the Bible, but what other cultures and spiritual beliefs see in their stories. So I think in the end, it just means that at some point they were all, enjoying their beliefs at the same time and creating some of the same stories. I'm not going to say they stole the stories, because that's true, but that's what I see.
They probably stole them. They probably steal everything.
Yeah.
They got to get their culture from somewhere. Yeah.
That's always something that has always been questionable to me, is just that what we do, in trying to make this as non-confrontational as possible, but when we do read stories in the Bible, those stories do, line up with other cultures and other spiritual beliefs. Like they took little bits and pieces from each one and made it their own.
I thought you wanted me to play it.
Oh, no, I thought you were still looking at it.
Oh, well, you can go back and play it.
So what other, what is your favorite, story for a holiday, Halloween or Christmas or...
Actually, I really like Christmas because I love the stories of Father Christmas.
Yeah, I think the actual pagan stories kind of suck. They're boring because they're not meant to be stories.
Right. I like the idea.
Like rituals.
I like the rituals behind winter solstice, things like that. And I do think that
the stories of Father Christmas over Santa Claus were always more interesting. But I just love Christmas in general. It always cheers me up at the end of the year. Like, it's been a really long year, and now my house is all bright and twinkly, and there's no reason not to be happy.
It's one of those things where, like, commercialism is great, but it sucks. But, like, if we didn't have it, we'd have a very boring year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I think my least favorite commercialized holiday is Valentine's Day.
Yeah, because there's not really, like...
I love Valentine's Day in theory, but when we watch commercials and stuff, it is never, ever, ever is it about the husbands.
Yeah.
No.
This is true.
Or the male counterpart.
It's always...
Well, I mean, we're talking about a long time ago. We have streaming services now.
Yeah, we don't actually watch
videos. We can't watch cable.
But...
We're in a very different age now, and we've had streaming since that age. We don't get to see the commercials now.
No, I mean, Hulu has commercials.
I've seen those commercials where it's like girls giving up the girls things and like get your husband an amazing watch and all that.
I haven't really seen a lot of that. 90% of it, though, is geared towards the man buying the woman diamonds or...
I don't think that'll change for a while, but there's definitely other commercials.
I just think that... I guess I'm probably showing my age, but I have definitely reached the age where I would rather experience something as a gift than get something. I'm not a big thing. Like, I don't like stuff. I don't like stuffing around the house. I don't wear a lot of jewelry, so that's not going to be that stuff. But
I think a lot of people are like that now.
Yeah.
I think that's just the age we're in. Nobody wants flowers and chocolates.
No, and I don't really...
I do know people that want them.
Yeah.
Generally, no.
Like, I don't really eat chocolate. I don't wear a lot of jewelry. I'd rather go do something and spend time with the person that I love than get a gift.
Yeah.
And that's probably for any holiday. Like, if Dan came home and said, hey, this Christmas, my gift to you is that we're going to go on a cruise. Sweet. That's a way better gift than, you know, anything that could be under a tree.
Yeah. I don't know. That's still like a bought experience.
It is. Most experiences are bought, but it's still something that you get to go and experience together.
Like it's not
more stuff to find out.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, but you're not like, it's Christmas, let's go hiking and see the view.
It's because it's cold. We live in the mountains of Tennessee. It's freezing.
I would do it too. Exorcist? Boom. There we go.
Exorcist?
Next Christmas.
Oh, I was like, what the fuck? What are we doing out in the woods?
She can't quite hear you.
What are we doing out in those woods? Who are we doing it to? Me? Or someone else?
No.
Okay. Me? Yeah. You guys really want to go right now with those glasses on.
Hi, children.
Creepy.
I don't know. I think if we still lived on the West Coast, but, like, I'd totally be up for that because... pretty over there.
I know.
It's really pretty here too.
Yeah, one space we went to that one time, babe. Mm-hmm. Where was it called?
That's what it's called. It was called Yum.
Eye Jams or whatever.
Is that how it's pronounced? I still have yet.
Center.
No.
Eye Jams, I'm sorry.
Well, this is a French state.
Yeah.
It's not a French word.
Okay, but
it's somebody's name. And I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the people at the place told us it is Eye Jams.
Eye Jams.
Yeah.
I feel like...
And they said it like it's two different words.
Right, which is Tennessee for I don't know how to pronounce
the
word.
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
Dante Road.
Danny. It's Danny. It's Danny. Don't call it...
Or LaFollette. All they told us...
Dude, there's...
I don't know.
They get vicious with Dante, though. I think I'm mad.
I don't know who would have a...
Like, y'all should be owning your Frenchness.
I don't know what name is Eye Jams, but they're like, I know it sounds weird, but it's his name, so I guess it was his last name.
But it's not, like, their pronunciation is such a hard
Eye Jams.
Yeah, it's very hard emphasis on each syllable. Eye Jams. I'm sorry, that was rude.
Eye Jams. Hey, go give me some gristles and grits and go up to Eye Jams. Maybe take a hike, maybe look at the lake holes.
Yeah, let's put some off. I don't care.
And I don't know much about, like, West Coast sites, but it's so funny to see, like, I would have never thought of Tennessee as a French state until we moved here.
Well,
especially this portion.
State, anyway.
I don't know, but especially this portion of Tennessee, because obviously you don't see it so much over in, like, Clarksville and Nashville and things like that. Definitely this, like, this little small towns over here. But then you go to, like, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It was full of Italians, and it's full of angry meth heads and cowboys.
One and the same.
But there's a ton of places that, like, even where we're from, like, little tiny places that have been there for generation upon generation that were from first generation Italians that immigrated over here.
Yeah.
So that's crazy because it's literally not very many states over. We've got the French here, we've got the Italians here. Like, it'd be interesting to know, like, if other states see other people in other states see around them. You know, do we have states that were prevalent in Asian culture?
It was not a part of the Louisiana Purchase. What do you mean? Like, Asian culture as in, like...
Well, like, we see a lot of Italian culture.
Well, I think it's just because they weren't trying to take over this land, so we don't see it rooted in it. But we do see, like, if you go to, like, older immigrant hotspots, like New York and Chicago.
They do have little...
They have, like New York has Chinatown.
They have Little Italy.
Little Italy. Like, they do have those places. And then, I mean... The rest is all scattered about. There's probably places that don't like it because they suck. But
there's probably
places that highly endorse it.
Yeah, embrace it and capitalize on it, obviously. I mean,
oh, yeah. Who's not going to do that in America?
Right.
I think it makes sense. Like, we don't have, like, a... Like, we don't have, like, Dutch culture. Obviously, we have European, but we don't have, like, Dutch culture.
Doesn't that be cool?
Because they didn't try to take over this land.
Right, but
here.
That's what I'm saying with, like, the Asian culture, because we know that, and Irish culture, because
yeah.
We know that Irish, Asians, obviously Italians, and the French were a huge part of establishing America.
Yeah.
So, like, small towns. Like, Hartsmoor, Oklahoma is a small town, and yet it's surrounded by, and McAllister even, you know, they have a lot more Italian stuff happening than you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'd be interesting to hear if other states had small towns that had that obvious, rich history.
Well, like, you see it all the time with, like, Canada. Canada is mainly French, but you have, like, those Dutch and Netherlands type histories because of the people that... They got there first, and so you see some of those deeply rooted.
Yeah.
Not like in Quebec, obviously. But
well, yeah. When I went to Canada, it was absolutely not. You didn't see any of the French culture where
you
I
go
went.
To like Quebec or to. I'm guessing not Quebec then.
No.
Like Toronto.
Probably, I believe Toronto is right above Washington State, and that's where we crossed through, and it. Really was just, and I hate this. I love Canada. I love Canadians. I love you all. I'm not trying to be rude. It was just, it was so dismal. The area that we were in was very dismal and very gray and definitely was not like Quebec. I would love to go on that side and see.
There's actually a very funny area in Canada that is a part of the, where like the Detroit border is. And, like, whenever people think Detroit, they think of, what's that place in Detroit?
But, no, that's Michigan, sorry. Detroit.
What's the place specific, the crappy place in Detroit that everybody thinks about? Oh, wait, Detroit is Michigan.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to think of, like, a shitty part of Michigan.
Flint.
Yeah. A lot of people think of, like, that area being shit. But, like, if you get further, if you're in the southern part of Detroit, it's probably pretty bad. But the more northern you get, all the way up until its border with Canada, because right on the border right there, it is actually really nice. And then you switch over to Canada, and it's just as nice. Because there's people that have visited Detroit from Canada. There's people that have visited Detroit from Canada and are like, I don't know what people are talking about. Detroit's pretty okay.
Right, because they haven't traveled anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's shitty parts of Detroit, but obviously those aren't the northern parts.
Right, right. Now, I know your brother has been to Detroit, and I wonder if he's been in that area.
Upper part. Yeah.
Closer to Canada.
If you're just visiting, I don't know why you would want to go to the shitty parts.
Well, sometimes, because you have to travel through those parts to get to, sporting events. And...
Yeah, but I mean, if you were just going
visiting. You'd be hey, I want to go to Michigan. Let's go hang out there. That'd be Airbnb.
Well, I just mean even, the bad part of Detroit as well. I don't know why you just want to stop there and be the view.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's no different than, traveling to L.A. and getting stuck in Compton. Nobody wants to do that. Don't do that.
I don't think it would be all Compton bad.
Yeah.
There's always a nice part of a town.
No.
Yeah.
No, sir.
I'm sure there has to be some place where they put it on their brochure. And they're like, come to Compton.
No, never. I will say this, though. There are brochures that tell you to come to Hollywood. They don't tell you that only 50% of Hollywood is super cool.
Yeah, well,
the other 50% of Hollywood is trash.
There's parts of Hollywood itself that are desert, isn't there?
No, Hollywood is middle of everything. It's not metropolis, but it's city. It's just that, you do have these parts over here, the Hollywood Hills, that are beautiful, and they have these big parks, and you can see the homes of stars. But then you have this part over here that's
Hollywood.
Full of homeless people and trashy buildings. And
Hollywood Strip isn't that great, is it?
No, it's not. but I will say this. If I had to name a place that I have been that has the most interesting people, it would be California, and specifically in the Los Angeles, Hollywood, San Francisco areas, because there are people that get up in the morning and will put they're in a drag costume contest, and that's just what they want to wear all day, and you know they're all over the streets and people dancing and doing shows on the streets and that's. I've never been to New York, so I can't say that whether or not that happens there, but it's so neat to watch.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, people that live in Hollywood talk about Hollywood like they love it, but the things they talk about are not things that we would love if they happened on our neighborhood.
Right.
They're like, oh, man, it's great. A homeless guy tripped over, a woman breastfeeding and all of his drugs spilled out. I love Hollywood.
Well, last time I was there with... At the time, my little sister was little, and we went to lunch at a, side street Subway. It was just this tiny little Subway restaurant. Literally had, enough room for two rows of tables on each side. You could walk up to the counter. That was it. And I felt horrible, but I was only, 16 at the time. But a homeless guy came in and was just walking around asking people for their food. That just happens normally. And I was, looking at the people working and looking at the people around us, what? Please don't talk to me.
Some guy did that at Applebee's a couple days ago. He walked in and he was like, hey, is there any food that you guys can just that you're going to throw away that you can just give to me? And I was like, let me go talk to a manager about that. And she, it was the same. Apparently he had been there a couple times because she seemed really irritated. But yeah.
I think it's interesting to see the difference in states. The first time we went to Ohio, not a huge leap from Tennessee, but when you cross over the bridge and you get into Ohio, it looks so completely different. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Well, hello.
How was your day?
Good.
Good.
But you know what I mean? Like, it looks so industrialized over there, and then especially coming from this area.
Yeah.
Where it's all mountains and green and beautiful, and then we get there, and there's, like, no green.
When we think of, like, big cities here in Tennessee, we think of places like Nashville, Knoxville, Chattanooga, Memphis, stuff like that. And they're not, while they are bigger cities, it's more like company-based. It's more economic.
Yeah.
Whereas when you cross that bridge into Ohio, specifically, I believe that's Columbus right there.
Yeah.
It's instant industrialization.
Yeah.
Because you've got the industrial on the one side of the river, and then you have, or on one side of the highway, and then you have the, like the big hotels, and you have the stadium and stuff like that on the other side. And literally the interstate splits it in half, but it is just, there's no free space. There's no grass. There's no, like, greenery anywhere. It is all buildings and warehouses and, you know, like, stuff
train
like
tracks.
That. Yeah.
And all, even, like, just the way the houses look. It's so, I'm a child, but it's so neat to go, and then you start looking around, and you're like, man, these look nothing like what we have in Tennessee. These houses are completely different.
Yeah.
And I kind of like them. I don't think they're kind of cool looking.
I wouldn't want to live there.
Probably not, but they're cool looking. So you missed it. We were talking about the pagan history of Easter.
I was listening on Facebook Live.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Aww. Look at that, supporting.
So.
Okay, so we dive into some things that are going on. Who has heard about the emergency in Florida currently?
I saw about that a little bit.
Really? So, it's funny only because, no, it's not funny. None of that's funny, sorry. So, they have a wastewater reservoir that's trying to collapse. They say wastewater reservoir, but it literally wasn't.
Toxic wastewater.
Yeah, they've got 340 million gallons that could reach, and in like within minutes, if it does reach. And so they've had to evacuate hundreds of people from the area, and they actually just expanded that evacuation because they're saying that if it breaches, they would literally have like a 20-foot wave of shit. 20-foot wave.
Piss and shit.
And some of it is actually...
It's incredibly toxic.
And some of it is actually radioactive.
Yeah, but not according to DeSantis, who
well,
is
of course not.
The governor of Florida, who is trying to quell that rumor. But it is true.
Yeah.
Because the water has sat so long, because it's basically an abandoned area. They don't use this reservoir. Another company bought the land. I don't even know why you would buy it to have shitty water just sitting there. But... so it doesn't get used. It's from like a, what is it?
So basically what they're doing right now is, from what I've heard, is that they are actually pumping that wastewater out into the bay.
Yes, they are.
To relieve the pressure on the levee that's getting ready to burst. And there's actually a second one that's getting ready to burst too. So you've got one that's on the brink. Like, it can go at any time. And now all of a sudden, a second one is getting ready to go.
Well, what sucks is that this was reported, like, a decade ago, that there was an issue with it. Probably needed to be repaired so that this doesn't happen in the future. And everybody kind of kept pushing it off. And it's fine. You know, we'll deal with it if something happens. Well, now something has happened. And obviously, their argument was that they don't want this thing to spill over and go into Tampa Bay. Because the environmental impact on like fishing and the marine life, all of that would be huge. But our answer to fixing it is to pump it into the bay.
Yeah,
it sounds like an economic relief, not environmental.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's not helping the environment.
It's not helping the, yeah, like your solution is really the exact thing that you said we don't want this to happen, but instead we'll just seep it in there a little slower.
Yeah.
Fun fact, did you know that we get 65% of our oxygen from the coral reef, the Great Barrier Reef?
Yeah.
Fun fact, did you know that it's only at 20% health?
That's gross.
Yeah.
That is, and it
has, they're really helping.
Yeah, right? Like, I just feel like, and I don't know what the solution would be. I don't know that anybody does. But can you imagine being the people that live there on the bay? This stuff is being pumped into the water. This is where you live. This is the cost of your home is dependent on the fact that you live on freaking Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
You get to go back home. But now Tampa Bay is filled with wastewater.
Oh, no.
Who wants to sell their house and buy a house there?
Oh, no. Tom Brady's got shit water by his house now.
Like,
oh.
I can't. I just want to live right next to something that could potentially have radioactive anything leaking out of it.
Yeah.
No.
Or the fact that...
I don't even care about them living there. Water's going to be gone in 20,000 years. But...
It's still gross, though. Like, I wouldn't want to live there, visit there, and people that don't pay attention to the stories that come out, you know, they decide they're going to go take their kids to visit Tampa Bay, and they're going to go clean the water, and now you're cleaning shit water, and it's really gross. And
they probably already were, but...
Probably. That's so scary, though. That's always Florida. Why is Florida so weird?
Because Florida is an ocean state in a peninsula and kept to its own. They do a lot of shitty things without people knowing.
There's a lot of craziness that happens in Florida.
Yeah, it's like there's definitely good parts of it, but like they just don't do anything right.
They don't do anything right?
No. They take whatever we're doing and just multiply it.
I don't know. It's definitely... I've only visited Florida once. Would not mind visiting places in Florida at some point, because there are a lot of cool places, but I would not want to live there.
No.
I would love to see a beach, like maybe a less crowded beach, but like I would love to see a beach in Florida. I've heard they're beautiful. I don't think that I would.
Not for long.
I don't think that I would be okay living there.
The Keys are going to just be acidic water.
Acidic water, yeah. What do you think? That's your home state.
I think it's going to be awful if they have a fucking shit tsunami. Because that's all I'm thinking is going to happen. Like, they're both going to burst at the same time, and then everyone's just going to get...
Can you imagine, though,
fucking shit on them.
What if your house is permeated by... Like, do you have insurance cover for shit water? Is there insurance cover that? Because I'm not going back in.
I don't really care about the people, I think. I think that they're about to do something really stupid. And they should have done something about it before, because now they're stopping
it.
Yeah.
20 years ago. They had 20 years to come up with a solution. And now they're like, well, now all entities are on board to make a permanent solution.
Yeah, like, it's either going to spill over into the ocean, or they're going to put it in the ocean.
It's not a permanent solution.
It's, like, terrible.
Or it's going to burst and go the other way.
Yeah.
And like 20 or 30 years ago, we didn't even have any type of clean energy. Like that, all that shit is going to be terrible type of shit.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be like the worst type of shit that's just been locked away.
Right. And so telling the public that it's not as dangerous as they think it is, that's not okay. Unless you are planning on walking out and wading into it and proving to people that it's completely safe and you're okay with it.
Yeah, like, they're saying that they're going to, like, the water is obviously going to dilute it, but then you're diluting it into the water that makes our Earth.
Yeah, where all of our, especially down there in that area, there's so much marine life that thrives in that area.
Well, yeah, you're talking about the Atlantic Ocean. Most of it is our
sea. There had to have been a better solution. The shit tsunami... Or the tidal wave of it going into the ocean. Neither one of those is okay. should have come up with a better solution.
Like Orlando or whatever is like a big area where a lot of marine biologists are.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Because there's a lot of sea life right there.
Yeah, I think
like,
see what the impacts are going to be, you know, in the
terrible.
Next few years from this one moment.
Yeah.
So you got anything good over there?
I'm really just, like, thinking about the shit tsunami. Because I feel like that's going to happen, like, in, like, the next couple days.
Yeah. Sadly, we don't have, like, mutations, like, in The Simpsons. Because if that happened, then that would technically mean that the sea life would be better. Because stuff that happens in that just makes it better, in a way. Like, if we had fish that could breathe more and then give us more
right.
to work with, then that'd
it'd
probably be
helpful.
Good.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just going to kill everything.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely going to impact, like, product, fish that we would normally get from there. People aren't going to want to buy it.
Yeah.
Nope. People aren't going to be able to buy it. It's probably just going to be bad right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to be scooping up dead fish.
That's so gross.
Yeah. Because then we just ate some crab, though. We're good. We're set.
Yeah, it might be a while before I buy.
Right, you get that from the middle of the ocean. That already has shit in it as much as it's going to for a while.
I feel good, though.
What about you, Dan? Any interesting stories that you've heard?
No, it's just basically what we've been talking about. I get a lot of my news from the radio. So, it's just basically what we've been talking about.
So, did you hear... So we know that there are two main pokums out now that you can
vaccinations?
Get. Yeah, pokums.
Vaccines? Yeah.
Pokums.
Stick and
poke. Yeah.
And then Johnson & Johnson came out with theirs.
Yep.
And it is being distributed.
Stick and poke.
AstraZeneca is about to get pulled because they flubbed their vaccine trials.
Huh.
And at least five countries have said, nope, don't bring it here.
Yeah.
Germany and definitely the UK. So with it.
Jackson or Hewitt or whatever you said it, that company was.
Johnson.
They'll do it right.
Yeah.
Jackson Hewitt's a tax company.
Johnson can't get baby powder right. They're not sticking anything in my arms.
They made a vaccine?
Yeah,
they're a family company. They do everything.
Yeah, no, they can keep it to
themselves. What the fuck else do they do
besides baby formula?
They do a lot.
They are a
family company. That was actually for a long time found to be dangerous for babies.
Yeah, but at the time, everybody did it. Like, that was...
Johnson & Johnson has always been a huge one, though. They some of the products that they use to make their products are not safe.
Yeah,
they just need to update their products. That's just what they need to do. Because at the time, they are safe products. Like, there was probably a time whenever
Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah, was selling cigarettes to babies when it was okay to sell cigarettes to babies.
Still, I'm good.
Now, I've heard a lot of really positive feedback on the Pfizer vaccine.
Yes.
Somebody I follow on Facebook actually got their vaccination from Pfizer. And, you know, they've updated a couple times saying that they've had no symptoms. The only thing that they had was a sore arm the next day. And that's to be expected.
Is that
from,
after both doses?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, after each dose, obviously. But that's to be expected after any type of vaccine.
That happens after my flu vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens after,
my adult vaccine. Fucking needle, it hurts.
Yeah, I mean, when you
get
the TB shot or any vaccine, it's going to be sore the next day.
Yeah.
But
you use big needles after, like, six.
Well, AstraZeneca is probably not going to go very far anyway because what it ended up being, once they did another trial the right way, it's only like 70%. Then you got Moderna and Pfizer, who right now are obviously leading the pack. Moderna, though, has some pretty harsh
side
effects.
Yeah.
Not my choice for... If I have to get a pokum, it's probably not going to be that one.
No.
I don't know. I'll get a vaccine if they can prove that most of the time it won't cause death. Because, I mean, even the flu vaccine can cause that.
Any vaccine can.
Yeah.
Anybody can have
so
a
if they can say
reaction.
That, like, your arm will go numb for 3 days, but then it'll be okay.
Right.
Then I'll take it.
They can tell me that.
Break out into hives, whatever. It's better than COVID.
This is true. And if they can tell me that it's going to last longer than 6 months, because as of right now, you're going to have to go back and get it in 6 months anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to have entirely crazy side effects for people with allergies, which is what we're seeing right now. A lot of those people that are having such horrible side effects are people that have horrible allergies of some sort. That cuts me out and my kids out of the race
because you have horrible allergies.
Yes, that's what they're talking about. No, not everybody does. Your daddy doesn't.
No, but he doesn't. You're the minority. Most people have seasonal allergies.
I am the minority in Tennessee.
Yeah.
If you go to, like, West Coast states and stuff like that,
most people don't have
seasonal you would be the minority.
Most of those people are in allergy states.
That's the
bring
point.
Them over to Tennessee.
But so
they've
not
pain.
Had to deal with those histamines, though. And so when people are getting these shots and they have severe reactions to histamines in the air, those are a lot of the people that are having in crazy reactions to the shots. Show me that my kids aren't going to have some sick reaction to it. We'll talk.
All right, I'll take the shot and then I'll just rub a bunch of bacitracin on my arm.
I think one of the things that worries me a little bit as a parent, not as a person, because we are seeing it in other countries now, is this whole vaccine passport.
Yeah.
We have to get a vaccine to get a passport?
No.
No.
You have to have the vaccine as a way to do anything.
As a way to travel.
Yeah.
Or do anything. So I'm not
yeah.
scared of it.
I feel like that's completely fair, though.
I feel like it's segregating.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Absolutely.
No, but
if you
can't
have,
compete in my restaurant or stay in my hotel if you've not been vaccinated.
Yeah.
We've not ever done that to anybody, ever.
That's because we haven't had COVID. Yeah, we haven't had. We've almost never had a pandemic. Even swine flu and the Spanish flu weren't technically pandemics. They were epidemics.
I mean, if you go more than just 5 years, even 10 years back, we've had major pandemics that were worse than COVID. You look
but
at the
only in certain places.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, like Ebola wasn't technically. Like,
no, I'm talking about going farther back. You're looking at the influenza. You're looking at the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
Back into the 20s and 30s. You're looking
worse.
At polio.
Like in certain
no, it was they were
oh, yeah,
nationwide,
everywhere.
Yeah, nationwide and worldwide.
Well, also we just have more protections now, and the population was like 5 billion back then compared to 8 billion.
Well, no, and I know I'm just saying though that I think that it's a slippery slope in a economy and a culture that is already teetering on the edge of insanity.
I wouldn't say on the edge of insanity. I would say probably kind of on the brink of. Like that law, the last straw.
Yeah.
I think it's completely fair. Because the EU and UK are the biggest ones that have done it.
Yes.
Americans are not allowed in the EU or the UK. That's completely fair.
No, that's
fair. Because we're like the biggest.
Because we're super spreaders over here.
Yeah. And so they were just like, no Americans.
I
and I'm like, okay. That's fine. I'm not going over there anytime soon anyway.
Right. No, and that I've always been okay with. Closing your borders to protect your country
right.
is okay.
Right.
But being in my own country and telling me I can't sit in an Applebee's because I don't have a vaccine card on me is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I still agree with that.
Well, I mean, so I can see both sides because right now it's like you can't go.
It's
actually very similar to the whole mask rule. You know, if we want to get rid of the masks, we have to do this. So it's one for the other.
Except that a mask isn't. Potentially
going to
kill me.
It is. The mask potentially doesn't work at all, and you can still get COVID while wearing a mask.
Right. But
you can still get COVID.
It can still come in your ears. It can still be on
you
your face
when
you take it off.
You can get COVID with the shot. I shouldn't have to put a foreign substance that I don't trust in my body because somebody else
But if you feel safe enough to go through
well,
room,
okay,
feel
so,
safe to
so on that statement, and I'm actually going to back up vaccines right now. On that statement, we have to look at...
I'm not an anti-vaxxer, just so we're clear.
No, I know that. But we have to look at the overall vaccination spectrum. Because you've been vaccinated.
Yes.
You know,
multiple times.
Yeah, you've been vaccinated with, not chickenpox, obviously, because they didn't have it when we were young.
I got chickenpox twice, the chickenpox vaccine later because I have all of my vaccines redone.
I had chickenpox and then I got the vaccine and then chickenpox. So.
But if we look at it, you know, like MMR, polio, and stuff like that, we've had those vaccines. And then as, you know, our kids have had the other vaccines. And they can't attend school, public school, unless they have a vaccination card. It used to be that way until these anti-vaxxers were like, oh, my God, I don't want to vaccinate my kid. But it used to be that way because when you've had to enroll Austin when he was younger, you had to have proof of vaccination.
You still have to have proof. It's just that now you can get exemptions.
Right. But right now, as it stands, the threat of COVID, and you know me, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. I'm not all in for the whole COVID idea. I think some of it is politically driven, obviously. Some of the threats are real. However, some of them are embellished. But if we look at moving forward as a society and having to have some sort of proof of vaccination. And I'm not saying right this very second.
Right.
Because there are people like you that are going to say, okay, you know, I want to wait to see some of the longer term effects.
That is my only argument to it. These vaccines were rushed. I just want to know they are safe.
Right.
That is it.
Right. For me, I've been stuck with every freaking vaccine known to man. So, you know, me getting the COVID vaccine, as long as it's from Pfizer, I'd be okay. It would not bother me.
I'm ready to do that and then also do the year thing where I can get rid of all of my grass allergies. I'd be totally fine with that.
Yeah.
The thing I was talking about?
Yeah.
That's science at its greatest.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I mean, for me, it's not a big deal because I've had vaccinations. I've had the smallpox vaccine. I've had the anthrax vaccine. I've had smallpox on me. It's just the vaccine. You get poked with smallpox and it spreads.
No, I was wondering about the anthrax. I thought anthrax was chemical.
It can be airborne. So
it can be airborne. But
yeah,
it
can be a virus. No, it's a virus. Yeah. So, you know, I've been vaccinated against anthrax, smallpox, polio, measles, mumps, and rubella.
That one's like one shot for me now.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. But, I mean, really the only thing that I think I haven't been vaccinated against is yellow fever because I haven't been to those countries where, you know, yellow fever is present.
Yeah, there's quite a few vaccines that they don't do now because of herd immunity.
Right.
Like, I don't think I needed a polio one.
No, you did. You still got polio.
Yeah.
There's one that
they still give out the polio vaccine. They still give out. And it's because of these vaccines, and I'm all for vaccines. I do think these vaccines were rushed a little bit, but as we see more of these trials go on and as we see more of these people getting vaccinated and stuff like that, no, we don't know long-term effects. But at the same time, what are the long-term effects of not getting vaccinated against COVID?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a flip of the coin, honestly.
Yeah, I mean... there was a time whenever I wasn't all for masks, but there was a time whenever I thought masks mattered. But we're at a point where if everybody wore masks day one, whenever they were supposed to, it would have mattered then because that means that we would have totally eliminated it. Nobody would have gotten it. We would have moved on. But we're at a point now to where you can get it while wearing masks because it's everywhere. It's everywhere in Tennessee. There was 1,000 cases just this week. Like,
my issue with germs.
Yeah,
I think that not only are the masks useless now, but the vaccines are extremely useful now.
I was super irritated when I went to the grocery store today because I tried not to be as anxious and crazy about things as I was there in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I was scared. A lot of people were. And
yeah.
I don't feel bad about that. However, I like the fact that I can walk into my favorite grocery store, clean my own cart, and just for peace of mind, even if it's just for myself.
Yeah.
It's gone.
The cleaning thing?
Yeah. And I was like my eye was twitching. Literally, like, I didn't know what to do. Do I touch the cobweb? I don't know what to do right now. Why would you do that? You put bleach wipes.
Well, there's a time, there's always been a time.
Now
you're
going to start carrying them again.
There's always a time that I didn't worry about it. And then there was a time whenever I didn't even wear it because it wasn't required yet. And I haven't gotten it at all. So I really have never been worried.
You have a freak for a mom.
There's people who will wipe down their table at Applebee's whenever I sit them, even though, like, I clean it off every time with peroxide because we have to do that. You have to do that at any restaurant, you know. But they will still wipe it down with their own bleach wipes. And I'm like, okay, you do you.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what I have to do, then I'll just, you know, carry my own. It was just really odd and disappointing because they've been probably the best about it since we started. My Target is still amazing.
Yeah.
They take it from you and do not hand it to you until they have cleaned it themselves.
Yeah, they're still pretty good about that.
I don't remember if we were at Walmart or Kroger, but you were like, just put the cart back because we didn't need it. And so I just wheeled it over to where somebody else could grab it. Somebody just grabbed it, and I was like, okay. So, like, it's hanging there, so you know that somebody's used it.
Yeah.
So don't use it. But they did, so I was like, okay, I don't have it, so go for a joyride.
It was a little discomforting today because it's my favorite store and they've been so good about it. And I was just like, I stood there for like 2 minutes looking around like, where'd they move it to? It has to be here somewhere.
And they may not have gotten rid of it completely. They may have just moved it to refill it or something.
Although I will give them props because I'm an absolute inconvenience to them on days that I have to fill water jugs. And you can see the irritation in their eyes, even though I remember growing up in a time when, you know, the bagger always offered to take your groceries out for you. And my cashier was not there today, so I did my own groceries, and I figured it was easier anyway because it was right next to the water thing. And the guy was really sweet about it. Like, he rang them up and did everything for me. And then I was like, is there any possible way that I could get somebody to put them in the cart and then help me just get, I can load my own groceries.
Yeah.
But just get them out of the cart into my car because I can't lift them at all. Like, I can't. And then I've got a son who carries two, but whatever. Cool. And it was a whole ordeal to get somebody to just push my cart out for me and just take two jumps out.
Yeah.
I was like, why?
At Ingles, they have to do that. Like, they have to ask you if you want your groceries taken out for you. They're so sweet about it.
Yeah, like I don't normally go through a line.
Because you also went to like places like Piggly Wiggly.
I did.
Those are normal things that they do there.
And I mean, you kind of got spoiled with the commissary.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But like Kroger and Walmart and Target and Costco, they're bulk stores.
I don't care about Walmart. I don't expect Walmart to offer because it's not like a normal grocery store.
Yeah.
But like an actual grocery store, like it's 5 gallons of water. I can't lift it. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know about Kroger, but the Ingles, like on Emory, they have a lot of disabled people and autistic people like bagging. And they're all like super sweet.
Food City's like that too.
I will say the kid who...
Good City definitely hires a lot more people as well. Because whenever I walked in there, I noticed a lot of high school students. Like, I knew
they do.
So Food City likes to... One of their biggest things is that they pride themselves on, and I know this because I was actually interviewed for a position at Food City, is that they pride themselves on being able to hire
younger
people and people with disabilities. And Kroger's big about that too. You know, we've noticed that.
Yeah.
And these are companies that see these people. That was such
an opportunity.
Yeah, that was such a bad way to say that.
Well, they give people in those positions an opportunity.
It was, and I apologize.
An opportunity for life skills, and I think that's
to thrive in an environment where they can be comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and I apologize for using these people. I mean,
we have a daughter who's autistic.
Yeah. You know,
Walmart's
people that...
Really
open.
Good at
that.
Yeah.
Walmart's really good at hiring old people, even. Shit to them.
Well, shit to everybody.
Like, they hire a lot of elderly people, but, like, they don't treat them like, you're like, do everything this younger person is doing. But they hire the elderly to do the same job.
Yeah.
Like, cool, I guess that's equal opportunity, but also kind of elder abuse.
Yeah, I don't know. The kid who ended up doing it today, because I walked out with two coffees in my hand and a full grocery cart, and I was trying to push the cart with my hands full, and he was like, let me push that for you. And he brought it over, and I was like, look, I just need you to pull those two things out. And then you don't have to do anything else. Like, I can unload my groceries. Cool.
Apparently, because I was feeling the jugs, and I was like, these feel exactly like carrying the cat litter. And then I picked up the cat litter, and I was like, this feels the same. Turns out it is the same. Because a gallon of water is 41 pounds, or 5 gallons of water is 41 pounds, plus the plastic, and then the cat litter is 45, so...
The cat litter I buy is 35.
Is it 35?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I probably could lift them, but it's hard. My arms just, they hurt, and so I don't. And
I mean,
also,
40 pounds in an awkward-ass giant water bottle kind of sucks.
Especially
yeah.
when they don't have the handle. Because there are some there that have those nice little grip handles that got
that's
the grip on them.
Yeah, that's what we have.
Yeah, but I've seen
some. The
ones
where you have to carry the top?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, how do you, so you have to pick it up at the top and you have to
carry
it with
like
two hands.
Yeah, I would not be able to do that with the two we had, because I could
yeah.
both in, but like, if I didn't have those grips, I would be carrying them like this, like I have no,
like,
which is crazy,
yeah.
like
I
need grip for it.
Yeah.
I've seen some of those water delivery guys, like they can grab two and they bring them in and they get them down and like,
who
are you?
Yeah, they're used to it, and they're probably much more in shape than I am.
Well, they're more in shape than I am. Yeah.
Definitely more in shape than I am.
Yeah. Mine's just based on my height. I'm just like, my body's like, you have to retain this much muscle or you'll die. So you have this much. And it's enough to carry two 40-pound water bottles.
Yeah, yeah. I was very proud of him. There was a time I probably could have done it myself, but it's not that time anymore. I'm wickedly sore. So, I don't know. It was an odd moment today, though, walking in there. And I think we've reached a point, though, where, like, most people just want to forget it at this point. Like, they're just done.
Yeah.
They want to be done. Which is unfortunate in a way because we aren't done.
Right. Well, I think the biggest issue, because I get a lot of this from the customers that I take care of, the biggest issue is, number one, the inconvenience, because we do have those plastic shields, and we sell fairly large parts
mm-hmm.
that you can't put underneath the shield. You got to walk around, or you got to put them somewhere.
It's like the thing that's not having it. That
yeah.
Because you're walking around, or they're walking around.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the mask is an inconvenience, too, because we have customers that don't speak English very well. And we also have like older customers. So it can be really hard to hear them. And
especially speaking through a mask and a shield.
Yes, exactly. So there are times, and if you've got somebody right next to you, especially if both of them are loud talkers, where I have actually had to lean forward closer to the shield and turn my head
I've had to do that with, like, a younger cashier and me being a younger person.
Yeah.
And we both were just like,
I did that with my kid at the grocery store. She cannot look away from me with the mask on and talk because I can't hear anything she says.
Which completely negates the whole 6-foot social distance,
mm-hmm.
the mask, and the reason for the shield. I mean, I've had customers that are like, you know, they're trying to talk to me, and I'm trying to input, like, information that they need or a phone number or something, and they'll notice that I can't hear them, so they'll just pull their mask down.
Yeah.
And it's more the inconvenience of everything, because at this point, number one, it's not big on the news anymore.
No, because everything else is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not huge on the news anymore, and it's not as prevalent in our faces, and it's just gotten to the point where it is literally just an inconvenience now.
Yeah.
These measures, while they may work, I would say probably 30 to 40% of the time. The measures that are in place everywhere.
Although they worked
for us. At first they worked until we figured out how COVID is spread. And then we figured out how easily it can be spread if it gets spread.
Right.
To the point to where it's like, well, then what is this for?
Yeah. Like, so I think as a society, we're either at this point where if we're going to get it, we're going to get it. And we're actually starting to wake up and realize that while COVID is present and while it can be deadly, it's really not as deadly as they made it out to be.
Probably not, but I mean, I still am. I'm of the mind of, yes, if I get it, I get it. However,
and
I don't want to get
it. And it was worse in other countries because they don't have the same medical stuff that us or Canada or the UK or Italy.
Right. Some of the countries that don't have the healthcare that we have.
Yeah, like Italy has pretty okay healthcare, but they didn't have any preparations. And so they're one of the worst for a while.
Right.
And they were overpopulated.
Yeah.
Right.
But then they cracked down on it because, I mean, they had to. If they didn't, they'd be dead state.
Yeah. This is one point where, bless you, where we see that while our healthcare is driven by money,
capitalism. Yeah.
It's also very beneficial because we have more hospitals per city than most other countries do.
Yeah, but to be fair, Canada has a lot less cases than us because of their free medical care.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Completely. But we have, so while they have more access to healthcare financially, we have more readily available healthcare. I mean, you look at Knoxville alone, there's 5 major hospitals.
Yeah.
5 major hospitals.
There's one in Oak Ridge. There's
just in the Knoxville area, there's 5 major hospitals. And then you have these outlying urgent cares and these clinics. There's an urgent care literally on every major road.
Yeah.
So we have access to the care. It's just, you know, being able to pay for it, obviously.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I mean, like, we have like, PennCare and stuff. Like, we have stuff that allows us to have free insurance based on taxes.
No, some people. I can't get that.
No, that's what I'm saying. There are people that can get free insurance based off state tax.
Right, right.
So why don't we just do that for everybody?
No, and I'm not opposed to,
like,
socialized healthcare.
So one of the best ones is directly, like I was saying before, directly above Detroit, that area of Canada. They pay 25% on state taxes, on whatever you call their state taxes. I don't think they're called state. They're
probably province taxes.
I don't think they, like, go straight off of what we go off of. It's just, like, general tax or something like that.
Yeah.
But they pay 25%.
Like a federal tax or something, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would pay that.
If
it meant free medical care and then, like, city rebuild type shit, I would pay that.
So the thing is we actually pay more in federal taxes than they do.
Yeah.
Federal taxes for us is right around 30% of our income.
Yeah, but
the problem, right, the
not.
problem that we have right now is solely within our government.
Mm-hmm.
Because, number one, we have career politicians who
have been in office for like 8 years.
Right, and they keep, you know, keep raising their salary.
Yeah.
Like, their salary literally comes out of our taxes.
Yeah, and they're the ones that also make the salary.
Yeah.
Like, if everybody agrees, then it's just like, all right, 80 an hour, bam. 85 an hour, bam.
Yeah. Yeah. We also have, other programs in place that we spend, or we were, spending a lot on defense. Our defense budget was higher than, you know, the top 3 countries combined.
Yeah.
However, at the same time, when you look at why we spend that defense budget, we're actually underspending.
I don't know why we need a defense budget, because if we ever went to war, it would just be fought with nukes.
No.
I don't know if we need a defense budget at all.
So the defense budget?
If a naval unit starts coming at us, throw a nuke at them.
The defense budget
is
to pay for the military personnel. That's the defense
budget. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know if we need that anymore.
Well, we
do.
Obviously,
defense.
DC
maybe,
is paying them quite handsomely to stay right there and do nothing.
Yeah. In a perfect world, we wouldn't need an offense budget either. Like, we wouldn't need the budget to send troops. Because
the problem is if you take away the defense budget, you take away the defense, or if you cut the defense budget, it's essentially like, so if you look at the defense budget as the doors to your house,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have a decent defense budget, you have four locks on your doors. Nobody's coming in, right?
Yeah.
The more budget that you take away, the more locks that you take away. Eventually, all you have is that handle that somebody can turn and come right in.
Yeah.
Or if you cut it out completely, you take the front door off, and you're wide open to anybody coming into your house and doing whatever they want, taking whatever they want. And that's the best depiction of a defense budget.
Yeah, but if everybody didn't have doors, then we'd all be the same.
This is true.
But they don't, because we don't have one centralized system of government, because we have governments out there and we have factions and
crazy people.
But we have factions out there that don't like the way that other people run their countries. There are countries out there.
I don't like how we run our country.
Well, but there are countries out there, and there are factions out there, there are people out there that really don't like the democracy of America. There are still places out there that do not like the fact that we view women as equals.
Yeah.
And if we got rid of our defense budget, you think 9/11 was bad? Like, it would be 10 times worse.
Well, not only that, but there are things that right now at this very moment we have to worry about. We need that defense right now because even though we don't see much of it because we don't watch mainstream media, we right now, four countries that I could name right now have blatantly come out and said that America is weak and we are at our weakest point. And if we're going to do something, now would be the time.
Yeah.
So that's scary. We have to have defense.
Yeah. And so our defense budget goes to right now, because we are not at like a world war. There are still conflicts in other countries, and we still have to maintain a presence. We have to be able to show these other countries that hate us that we are able to defend ourselves. It'd be like somebody that wanted to come into my house, walking in and seeing me with a pistol in my hand. They're going to think twice, because I have a show of force. I have a way of defeating you from attacking me.
Yeah, but like, your house is one thing, but we have like guard farms over there, somebody else's farms that we own, where if we just stopped owning that farm, they could take it and then not hate us. They could just have their own little area over there.
What I hate right now is that it's, okay, so I guess my best depiction would be if we look at social media. The biggest one right now is TikTok. You literally watch these creators who 1 minute love each other.
Yeah.
And then something changes, and then they're all at war. They all hate each other. Cancel culture at its best. 6 months ago, these very countries loved us.
Yeah.
Were on board with us. We had a great communication. We were doing well. There was no threat. Now, they're like, you're very weak. We take all of your things. They don't like us anymore.
Yeah.
They hate us.
The biggest issue with the solution that you're coming up with is that we are a global economy.
Yeah.
We are a global entity now.
Yeah, which means that we should treat it globally.
And I agree with you. I do. But there are people out there, and there are countries out there, and there are governments, and there are religions out there that don't see it that way. I mean, I literally experienced it firsthand with the Muslim religion. And that was our biggest threat 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Overseas, not here.
Overseas. Well, no, even here. You look at 9/11.
Well, no, I'm saying though that,
yeah, but that
our Muslim Americans were not our issue.
No, I'm not saying that. But the biggest threat overseas, and it's still a threat, is that culture, because they don't like the way that we run our society. They think that their way is better and that everybody else is wrong, and anybody that is wrong or opposes them should be killed.
Yeah, is a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if we just pulled all that stuff and let them deal with their own issues in their own land, and then we boosted our defense here, either use that budget or then cut the budget from over there and then just use the budget that we have here, there'd be more budget for other things, and then we'd just be defending our land still.
To a point, I can see that. However, let's look at what's going on in China right now, where they're literally taking people and putting them in camps. Or if we look at, you know, some of these Arab countries where there is no punishment for raping and beating women and children.
Yeah, but we're only holding our ground. It's not like we're actively helping.
We are.
No, we go over there to actively help.
Yeah, you look at...
What are we doing in China?
I don't know, because the last I heard, our president felt like it was a cultural difference.
Right, but if you look at history...
Whether it's a disagreeing or an agreeing, it is a cultural difference.
But it's not.
Not when the society goes backwards, though, because China has never been...
It's not a cultural thing because they are taking people, segregating them, and killing them. It's literally mass genocide.
Yeah, but it's their cultural thing. It's just wrong.
Okay, so then let me ask you this. If you believe that that's a cultural thing, and if you believe that it's okay over there...
I said it's a cultural thing over there. It's just wrong.
Okay. So we should not interfere at all.
I'm saying if we're not going to interfere, then we shouldn't spend money over there.
Or interfere.
Like if we're just gonna hold something there. Like if we held the line at, like if we sent troops to Japan to make sure China didn't take over Japan, but we didn't actually actively help the Chinese populace in any way, then we just shouldn't do it at all because we're wasting money on doing nothing.
And I get that.
Okay.
I get that.
Yeah, but you have to look at the bigger issue here. You have to look at the global issue. If we step foot in China, that with any type of military force, that's literally considered an invasion, and then all of a sudden we are thrown into World War III.
Which is what they're hoping for.
Yeah, and there is absolutely no way.
Money on the defense if we're not going to do anything about it. Like, if going to China is going to start a war, then we shouldn't prepare to go to China. Because we're not going to do it, are we? We're just going to spend money on it.
It's political, though. So, when you look at it, we have Americans in China, just like we have Chinese Americans here, or even people that are over here on visas or whatever. We have our own people over there to protect our people. They have everybody has a consulate and things like that to protect their people that are over here that are not necessarily citizens. So we still have our little areas there that we have to be able to protect. We have to be able to protect our people that are there. We don't want to see what is happening right now there cross over into the American visa workers that are there or business people that are there, and they're suddenly getting just snatched up out of hotels and stuff.
Well, it's,
that's what I'm saying. Is like if we're not going to readily actively try to change their laws, then we shouldn't be over there at all. As people, as military, we shouldn't be over there taking that risk. Because if we're not going to actively change the law, then the law is going to stay, and then our people are going to be in chaos.
But what we don't see is that behind the scenes, every leader of every country has a business relationship with each other. I say business because that's how they treat each of their companies. It is a business relationship. We may not always agree with their business, and they obviously don't agree with our business, but we manage to keep the peace by doing the things that we need to do to keep our people safe. They do what they need to do to keep their people safe. Sometimes we trade. Sometimes we get mad, we don't trade. But either way, those little pieces are constantly moving very carefully. To take away any show of
force
at all,
yeah,
for them or us, would be a sign that we're not really playing the business game anymore. It really is all politics. It's not even about military or protection. Or 90% of it is just business.
Basically what it is like we send, and we are sending people over to Japan because Japan has actually asked for our help.
Yes.
And I don't remember if it was you that was telling me this, but China has literally said, we are ready to go to war with America, and Japan literally talked back to them, was like, no, you don't. You remember Hiroshima and Nagasaki? You don't want to fuck with them.
Yeah, they've already given their word that should this person over here fight that funny and decide that they want to play some fuck-fuck games, then this person over here who's just as big as we are is going to step in and be our protector.
Would Russia be our ally in war?
You would think, but right now Russia hates us.
Yeah, so
like everyone hates us. Right,
Putin hates us. The potato in charge.
Like, do we have any countries that like aren't laughing at us, or like
that are our
allies?
Complete and total allies?
Japan has this crazy Stockholm syndrome with us.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to be nice to us.
No, but they're being nice to us because they don't like these people that are teaming up together and hate us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we look at the alliances throughout the world,
yeah,
we actually have more allies than what we think we do. Behind the scenes,
they have enough weaponry is the problem.
Well, they have more than what we think. I mean, you look at Canada. Canada is our ally. If China was to pop off, Canada would have our back.
Yeah, Canada would.
Leadership has changed, and they have allowed Chinese troops into their borders. I don't know that they would have our back. I'm sorry.
I think they'd probably be neutral parties.
Already crossed the line and allowed these people into their borders to have space there up against us. I don't know that they would have our back. I think that their leadership at this point has made deals that they have never made before.
Yeah.
Okay,
like,
so Canada's out.
Like Trudeau or whatever.
Yeah, he's freaking.
Yeah, he's not great.
Okay, so I mean, we still have England.
Yeah.
We still have most of Europe.
I mean, well,
that's just because of UN stuff,
here,
isn't it?
They better have our back.
Yeah.
They're like UN type stuff though.
Right.
Like that type of
right.
Thing.
But if China was to pop off some shit. Because it was the same with North Korea, because North Korea was like, you know, hey, we're going to put these boats here and we're going to kind of shoot over to South Korea and a little bit over to Japan. And we kind of went around there and was like, hey, you need to kind of stop because, you know, I'm a destroyer, but you see this whole carrier group behind me. Yeah. And then that carrier group behind me.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where if Korea, China and Russia went against everyone else, including America, they would have more bombs than us.
Yeah. No.
Which is a problem.
No.
They would.
They don't have more bombs.
Russia currently has more bombs.
No.
And that's just Russia.
Mm,
and then you count in China, who is the third largest below us, and then Korea, which is the fourth largest.
Korea does not have as many bombs as China.
No, that's why it's under it.
No.
It goes Russia, America, China, Korea.
I doubt Korea. But
North Korea.
No. But and if you seriously think that Russia has more nukes than we do,
I'm pretty sure they do.
Half of their nukes were stolen when the USSR fell. So,
yes, but then they still have quite a large power, and then if they really wanted to, they could just go in there. Like, if we're talking about World War type of nothing matters anymore, they could just go in there.
Wouldn't that be horrible, though? Let's not.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of getting there, aren't we? Like,
there's weird contention right now. There is, and there's so much, we've talked about it before, where things, if we actually take a couple days and we start listening to the chatter, things don't feel right. Something is off. Nobody really knows what it is. For a long time, they thought it was just all of the weird, like, stuff happening with the governments, because we've seen at least three governments flop since our election, which was really weird also.
Yeah.
Like, there is some stuff going on. None of us know what it is, though, because nobody mainstream will talk about it, which leaves us sitting back going, are we that funny? We just take to the hills now, because, I mean, I got a lot of
it's one of those things where, like,
yeah.
like if people wanted to start rebelling, if populace in China wanted to start going against the Republic of China government or whatever, they would have full threat of, like, nuking places that aren't those places inside their own country, nuking other countries if they rebel. Like, weird things, there's weird threats that any country could have if people started rebelling against them.
Yeah. We are always on, literally always on the brink of war. If we look at it pessimistically,
yeah.
We're always on the brink of war. And literally the only thing that stops us is that threat of nuclear war.
All I want is a Rome. They just take all of us and make one government.
I don't think we're quite there.
I am the world leader. I think we're there as that should happen before nukes happen.
I agree.
Yeah.
Completely and 100%. However, I do not think the world as a whole, mainly because of, and I don't even think it's cultural differences.
I think America, we would be the reason that things could not happen.
I think, yeah, between us,
yeah.
Us and China, our strong opposite contention.
Yeah.
Like, we're way too capitalistic. They're way too communistic. We would not be able to do either.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you throw in the other opposing views that usually cause war.
Like, if we did everything like France and Canada combined, like, if they took both of their greatest strengths and combined them and everybody just did it like them and Sweden...
Yeah.
I was going to say, what about Sweden?
Sweden's really weird where they actually are so perfect that people kill themselves. Like, they have one of the highest suicide rates.
Just because
they're so boring.
Look,
if
we could come up with a mix of democratic, capitalist, socialism.
No. I think capitalistic should be out of it. I don't think we should do stuff hoping to get stuff in return. I think that's one of our biggest problems as America.
Well, I think you have to have a little bit of capitalism in there, because if you go full socialism, then there's no drive.
I don't care about any of the words you're saying right now. I think we should do none of them. I think it should be anarchy with a few rules.
I'm just wondering how long before they actually implement the purge. Because I feel like
we're going to have to do that at some point with population count. So that's the only reason.
I feel like that's kind of what COVID was, but it was nicer. And now that didn't work very well, and so maybe we just step it up a notch.
No, we'd die. We're just in a white neighborhood with a lot of windows. We would not do great.
Oh, you're right. It'd be like The Walking Dead up in here. We'd have to go find an old.
And you're mad because I wanted to buy a rifle.
You're no Liam Neeson.
No, but I can actually shoot very well.
If four just like squad cars came down full of people, we'd all be fucked. This whole neighborhood.
I mean, yeah. Well, no, not necessarily, because
no, we would.
I mean, you got to look at the general populace, and how many people own
but this street.
Yeah.
No, because I know of at least three have at least one weapon in their house and know how to use it, know how to defend themselves.
Tennessee with its gun laws, we'd have people coming down the streets with RPGs just taking out the whole house.
Well, speaking of Tennessee and their gun laws.
I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, so Governor Bill Lee has already stated that he plans on, he most definitely plans on signing into law the whole rule of anybody over 21 being able to carry a gun without a permit.
Constitutional carry.
Oh, so like the opposite of what is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Sounds, especially Tennessee, sounds great.
Which feels weird only because of the upsurge.
Road rage is going to turn into so worse.
Right, well, the upsurge of violence in Knoxville alone is the only reason that I have an issue with this law.
I've always had an issue with the law. I think Australia does it the best.
But Australia has the highest crime rate.
But not by guns.
No, because there's nothing to deter anybody. And they do have the highest homicide rate.
It just bothers me that we are seeing...
Population.
We live in a state where we are seeing an upsurge in gun violence.
Yeah.
And this is not me. I'm from Oklahoma, okay? I'm all for having a gun.
Listen,
that's fine.
I'm from the 2000s. The Constitution was written in the 1700s. Guns have gotten a bit better.
Right. I'm all for having guns. It's having an ability to protect yourself. I just am a little concerned with the idea of everybody has a gun now, so it's okay.
No. Okay. So.
Yeah, like, I don't know if it's a good idea for like a state with terrible gun crime. For them to just be like, here you go.
So the way I look at it, is I kind of look at it the same way as what the world is going through right now. If everybody has a weapon on them, nobody's going to use them. Everybody in every country, every major country, every major world power has nukes. China hates us.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to fire their nukes because they know that we will fire our nukes.
Yeah.
They don't want to be destroyed.
Yeah. But alternatively, because I know where you're going with this, alternatively, if we all just disable our nukes at the same time, it'd be the exact same thing. It'd be a net zero.
Except for the one person who didn't.
Exactly. That's
why we want them to both do it.
And, no, but that's the issue with gun control. If you take all the guns off the street,
somebody's still gonna have one.
All the people that are legally allowed to own a gun will not have them. Therefore, the only people that will have guns are criminals. And how do you defend yourself against somebody that has a weapon that you don't have?
But the people that would still have guns would be police, or at least they'd have something to take them down with, which would, it would be bad for a while, probably. It's always going to be worse before it gets better with any law. And with this law that's going to come out, it's probably going to get worse before what you just stated would get better.
Possibly.
Like, there'd be way more gun crime before it ever got better.
I think it would actually deter a lot of people.
I don't think it will.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
I think a lot
of
crazy people that can still get away with things are going to have guns.
I don't know. Is Oklahoma, are they there?
I'm not sure, but if you look at states that have constitutional carry.
They do have lower gun.
They have lower gun violence.
But they started with it, which is a problem.
Right, but I think that's what he is hoping for, that if we cross this line, then we can cross this threshold and hopefully get things back under control.
The thing is you will have you're always going to have these crazy people. You are. I mean, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a way to defend yourself, then the crazies win. The thing is if you have somebody that's desperate,
mm-hmm.
that's holding up a convenience store,
mm-hmm.
if somebody that is that desperate that's going to hold up a convenience store, if they walk in and they see four people and the law states that you can carry regardless,
one
of them statistically is going to have a gun on them. So
exactly,
these people
but you're
don't.
You're thinking of it as gun crime. Crime entails that a bad person did it. But in any situation that you've brought up so far, somebody's going to die because of a gun. It won't be counted as gun crime because they'll be defending themselves, but somebody will die because of a gun.
Right. But if you know that somebody has a gun on them, you're less likely to do something stupid than if...
That's a crime.
Yeah. Yeah, if you go into a building where you know nobody has a gun on them and you're the only one with a gun, you have all the power. If you go into a building where everybody has a gun on them and you have a gun on them on yourself, you have lost all power.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where I've never been a person for full takeaway of guns. That's why I said Australia. Is because they don't fully take away guns, but the process for getting a gun takes a lot of effort.
And if
it takes effort, that means that somebody can actually catch somebody that had a prior addiction or prior jail time or...
Right, and we do have background checks.
But they're not great.
They are. Yeah. So I'll give you a perfect example. When I went with your dad, the Godfather, to the range.
Yeah.
I witnessed two different people trying to buy a gun.
Mm-hmm.
I witnessed this one guy over here that was trying to buy a gun. I witnessed your dad trying to buy a gun.
Yeah.
Okay. The guy that bought the gun had no issues.
Yeah.
Nothing on his record. This guy over here didn't say what it was, minor blemish, because they run your driver's license.
Yeah.
Or your state ID. And it does a national search of your name.
Yeah.
And this guy could not buy a pistol.
Yeah.
Because of... And it could have been just something minor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he could have been in jail for a speeding ticket. And that's what the guy behind the counter said. It's, you know, we don't know why it's rejected, but it's rejected. And you can appeal it, but the background checks have gotten a lot more strict when you are legally purchasing a firearm.
Yeah, but I think we have background checks. We should have foreground checks. We should have a psyche check, something that shows even if you have a clean record,
okay,
which is more than every single person that has committed a crime at one point had a clean record.
Right.
So even if you have a clean record, it still gives you a psych evaluation.
Right. So you're saying that anybody that should own a pistol should have a psych eval?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Do you think I'm mentally competent to own a pistol?
Half.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm mentally competent to own a pistol? You've seen me at my best. You've seen me at my worst.
Well, yeah,
do you honestly think at my worst that I would actually grab a pistol and shoot somebody? Knowing who I am.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At your best, no.
Okay.
At your worst, I don't know.
Okay, what about right now, as you know me right now, do you think
probably.
I'm mentally competent to own a pistol?
Probably.
Okay, if you do psych evals, that psych eval would come back no, because I do have PTSD.
You do have PTSD, but it depends, but PTSD is not just something you can flip a switch on a psych test. It's not something that just comes back as an X or a check. PTSD causes other things in your brain to be... worse or normal.
Right.
And so some people with PTSD, as long as they, on the psych evaluation, they still test positive, they can still own a pistol. PTSD is not something, trauma in your head is not something that immediately gives you
No, but they would have value. They would have to have a blanket, because they would not be able to, number one, afford the personnel to do the proper psyche valve, and number two, have the personnel to do the proper psyche valve. So it would have to be, if you have this, this, and this, you are automatically declined. And that's what they've been trying to do in Congress, is to have psyche valves against people, you know, yeah, for people that want to purchase a firearm. The thing is because I am diagnosed with PTSD, I would not be able to own a pistol, even though my PTSD is 95% controlled.
Yes.
You know, it's 95% controlled. And even that other 5%, it's literally just a reaction that I have, you know.
But what is that reaction that they'd be able to test? Like, would that...
You've seen my reactions. You know what my reactions are when my PTSD is, quote-unquote, triggered. You've seen those reactions.
But
it's literally just
reaction
a tent up.
Exactly. I've never seen that reaction with a pistol. And I think that's what it would test for, is, unfortunately, that would probably negate quite a few people.
Right.
But would that
save
a few people's lives?
But the only time that I have a pistol in my hand is either when I'm cleaning it and it's unloaded and the rounds are somewhere else,
mm-hmm,
or I'm out of range in a controlled environment,
mm-hmm,
generally with somebody like your dad that knows my triggers and knows the things to look for.
You would be one of those people then that if you came back negative, just like a driver's license, you would be able to get it appealed. You
right.
still have the appealing process. It would flag you, yes, but if you were to have an actual conversation with somebody and talk about it and be able to competently talk about it, talk about your degree, talk about what you've been able to do after the Navy and Army, you would probably pass the actual full evaluation.
And,
not the original evaluation, but the whole thing.
If you're looking at it going down that way, I can kind of agree as to where you're going.
Yeah, because, I mean,
you know,
that was
it's a flag,
mm-hmm,
but then, you know, you go and you get, like, an actual evaluation.
A more in-depth evaluation.
Right, by a psychiatrist or a psychologist,
mm-hmm,
generally probably a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
No, it'd be a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Psychologist is somebody that treats the problem. Psychiatrist is a diagnosis.
Okay. And then... You appeal it, and then it goes on your record that you're okay. And I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the issue that arises there is cost and availability.
Yes, but I feel like if we're living in already a capitalistic society, I feel like there would be a good market for it.
People
would be able to get paid for it.
I agree.
Taxes could go into it to keep shit going.
Right.
And that would, I feel like that would be, whenever it comes to actual money cost, because I think money cost, especially in America, is bullshit. Whenever it comes to money cost, I feel like that's an okay cost to save a few people's lives.
And I'm not totally disagreeing with you on that. I don't think that in the society that we have today, I don't think that full 100% constitutional carry should be granted.
No. I have never thought that since I was young.
Right. And I can see and agree with your stipulations on being able to purchase a pistol or a rifle of some sort.
Yeah.
And it could work. You know, you could have that little red flag that comes up that says, hey, you know, this guy was this.
Like, if we talk about, I don't remember what the shooting is called. I don't know it by name. But it's the shooting where the guy was a completely normal person, had a completely clean record.
Right.
The person was also taking a lot of medication. That would be flagged on the second test, where the first test would fail.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
where the guy was normal, but because of the medications he was on, it kind of fucked with his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's be honest, I blame that on his doctors.
Probably.
Completely.
Yeah.
100% blame it on his doctors.
But
because you're supposed to do a medicine check every time you go there.
Yeah, but if he had something to stop that, then even later on, if he was trying to buy one of these bigger guns, because he had differently sized guns.
Right.
He tried to buy one of these bigger guns, and he had to redo his permit, like, every year or something. And nothing changes on his brain, then that's fine. Like, he has the same control from the year prior.
Right.
If something is new because of these medications, that would flag. He would go to the second thing, not be able to be evaluated, and all the guns would be taken away.
That's actually not horrible.
And I think that the Second Amendment can be – I don't think it should be rewritten simply because
ratified.
Of why. I don't even think it should be ratified. I think it should be added on to. And I think that – so I'm not all for 100% gun control.
Right.
But I'm not
We've changed almost every single other one of our laws, our amendments.
Well, we've added stipulations to them. And we've added some stipulations to the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Like the background checks.
Mm-hmm.
And I
think it's one of those things where people are just poking a dead horse, kicking a dead horse.
I agree.
I think it's one of those things where people are fighting for something because they don't want it to change, but everything else besides it has changed.
Yeah.
We're in a completely different society. We're in it with completely different laws, completely different people. We're talking about the 1700s. They made those gun laws for something that you pack with gunpowder.
Well, okay, so I'm actually going to correct you a little bit. The Second Amendment was not created for the type of weapon that they had. The Second Amendment was created because of the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
It literally states, you know, that, you know, well-formed militia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically to be able to stand up to a tyrannical government, which is what the colonists fought against in the Revolutionary War.
Yeah,
it was if the government...
We can't even do that now with guns.
No,
it's
you're
all
right.
Now.
It is all politics, and you're right. But that's the intention behind the Second Amendment, and that's why our forefathers put that in there, because they knew that at some point the government that we have could possibly become corrupt enough to be a tyrannical government. And I'll be honest, it is close.
I feel like we're there. But no matter what, we won't be able to fight with them. We can't just shoot people.
No.
What do you think, Ian?
I don't even like guns at all, so I have nothing to say.
I don't like guns either. I feel like other people should have freedoms that I don't care about. But I don't care about guns. If guns were taken away, I wouldn't mind me at all.
I think it should be very hard to get a gun.
I don't believe that people should own 80 guns.
No,
but
like
people that would scare me.
Yeah, like that's a very whenever people think, I think it's, you know, it's a bad thing whenever America's stereotype is a person with 80 guns.
Right.
You look at other countries.
Yeah.
Well,
it's the cowboy.
Yeah.
What bothers
yeah.
me is that those people are a lot more prevalent than what we actually think. And
yeah.
especially during this last year, they're talking about these open carry
Yeah.
laws happening, but we're talking about a society that went a little crazy for a whole year. People are stockpiling ammunition.
Yeah.
They're stockpiling weapons. Like, I feel like we're kind of on a precipice. I don't disagree with it entirely, but I also feel like now?
You're talking about a country that,
right now?
That whenever a hurricane hit and there was going to supposedly be no gas, just supposedly, the states stole all of the gas.
Yeah.
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 On the possibility.
Yeah.
And then they drained it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever it would have been fine if nobody touched it.
If everybody would have just taken a breath.
Yeah.
Went about their business. Probably things would have been okay.
That's with positive things: gasoline, food,
yeah.
water.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, imagine what they would do with guns.
That they did. That's why you could not find ammo for... Yeah,
I mean
can
something.
Change the law, but we can't fire the gun.
If something
if
something possibly happened that involves somebody saying that we might have to shoot guns, people would start shooting guns before it even happened. Based on all of our prior history in the last 2 years.
Right, and I agree with you on a point. I do. And for me, it's not about the glamorization of owning a gun because mine stays hidden. Generally locked up and unloaded. Mine is strictly the reason why I have a pistol, the reason why I want a rifle, and the reason why I want a shotgun, the reason why I want one more pistol. Literally,
the reason why I want an AR-15, the reason why I want an M-16.
No, it's and I'm not saying I want like 5 different rifles and 8 different shotguns. No, I want.
Yeah.
I want to have 2 pistols because I want to be able to carry one in my car when I go to work.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to defend myself. I want a pistol here at the house as well so that you guys can defend yourself.
Which I figured out based on other weapons that aren't guns. And at one point, whenever I was very young, guns. I am a dead shot.
and see, there you go. Shotgun is a great home defense weapon. Literally, it will it will cause somebody to shit their pants when they hear the shotgun.
Me, yeah. What I shooting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a rifle for same reason.
I don't know if we need a rifle.
I want a rifle.
I will tell you this.
Rifle is purely for fun.
Serious?
Yeah.
Serious sound to me is... when you wake up in the middle of the night because you're supposed to hear something outside the door and she cocks a muzzle loader.
Yeah.
Like, that's loud.
Yeah.
And it makes you want to throw up in your own mouth. And you're not even the one holding it.
Yeah.
Or shooting it.
But
you hear the 20 gauge.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody enters another person's house and they hear that of a shotgun.
However, has she ever had reason to do that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, that is the substance. Society we live in, and she lives out in the middle of nowhere.
And you know, we haven't thankfully had a reason for me to have to draw my pistol in the house.
Yeah.
However,
could it happen?
It is that mentality. I would rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't ever want to fire my pistol in defense of myself.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever want to take somebody's life or injure somebody in that way.
Yeah.
At the same time, if you come up into my house and I have my pistol and it's loaded, you are going to get shot.
Yeah.
And not just once.
Yeah, it's just one of those, like, not even you, but it's just one of the, it's that, those exact words are the hypocritical justification for the people that buy 80 guns.
And I agree with you. I don't think people need 80 guns, but I don't believe that you should be able to own a gun to be able to defend yourself. And that's, you know.
And that's what I'm saying with, like, all the testing and all the background checks and the foreground checks.
Right, and I agree, because...
I don't think that we shouldn't not be able to defend ourselves, especially if, like if gun laws went into effect that no one can own a gun. I would rather them take as many illegal guns away based on warrants and all that before they take away the general populace's guns.
Right, right. And they wanted to do the opposite.
Yeah.
They wanted to take away the general populace's guns before they took away illegal guns.
Yeah. I think that if they did it the opposite, I would fully agree with it. Because if we have no guns inside the country, I mean, like, obviously we should probably defend the country.
I mean, obviously.
Like, inside the country. If we have no guns, then nobody can use them.
Right. But then you also run into... So one of the main reasons why countries won't, like, enter our borders is because of the stigma of Americans owning guns.
Yeah.
Because as a populace, we could fight off the Chinese army. Just as a populace, not even our military.
Yeah.
As an American populace, we could fight off the Chinese army. And that's why...
I think we're past that point because you're either going to hit our border of military or it's going to end up in nukes. I think we're past the point of people having to worry about it.
Right. I don't think that Red Dawn is the movie.
Yeah, I know.
Is a reality.
Yeah.
Especially with all of our anti-air.
Right.
Like, I don't think that can happen anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like the general populace, including illegal ones, I don't think that we should have guns, because at this point, if we went to war with not ourselves, like if it wasn't a civil war,
yeah,
it would be fought with nukes.
Yeah, or, you know, other technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would not be fought with the general populace.
Right.
On that note, we only have a few minutes left. I feel like that was a great discussion between you two, though.
Was
that
was
like the first time
we
didn't
yell at
you. Right?
We do it on Wednesday and Sunday, but we
yeah.
have a real topic.
And that is why we have this show. I think that was a great, I honestly do think that was a great discussion, even though, you know, the hosts weren't really part of it, but it was a great discussion.
This is why I'm not on the show.
No, I
you guys will never be able to talk.
This is why we can't be on this show. We need our own.
I enjoyed it a lot. But, unfortunately, we are down to the last few minutes, and so we will be ending for tonight. We should be back next week. I never guarantee, because I am a mom and sometimes shit happens, but we should be back next week. However, tomorrow night there will be a Cinephile.
Hopefully, you don't have a topic yet.
Oh, okay, well,
but well,
maybe.
I don't know. I've been thinking about it all day and I can't think of it.
Yeah, I have been too. So, it's a tentative yes.
Okay, we don't know about Fridays yet. You're still unfortunate. Hey, listen, if you know somebody who loves music and would love to host a show on Friday night at 6 p.m., let us know, because we are currently in search of a new co-host.
I sure don't like music.
That's why I said people don't love music. But hopefully we want to have Guy and Glasses back on the air as soon as possible.
Yes.
Sunday night, will we be having a movie of the week?
Yes, we are doing Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah.
Should be interesting. We're going to have to watch that movie during the week, because Saturday night, we are partying it up with Miss Anne for her 18th birthday.
Woo-hoo! Happy birthday, Anne.
Yeah. It's fuck.
So that should be super fun.
I'll get lit, not lit as fuck, because I'm probably going to have to work the next morning. So I'll get lit so I can work the next
get
morning.
Get lit enough to where as soon as you come upstairs, you pass out.
Oh,
that's little. That's literally two cups for me. So I'm a lightweight now.
Bitch, baby. I can't say anything.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we cannot wait for the next one. Hopefully, it'll be just as entertaining. So hope everybody has a great night. I am going to find you some nice music. And that's worth.
You have to click the middle button. Good night, everybody.
We're going to leave you with some less love.
Dripping down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things